So, hi, welcome to Hot Topics Live. Today we're going to be talking about the Johnny Depp trial and abuse, narcissism, and what happens when the woman is the narcissist. So stick around, you don't want to miss this. But first, I want to say you are amazing. And this is your reminder that you are enough and you deserve to be living the best life possible. The only person who can give that to you is you. So we're going to talk more about that at the end of the show. But for now, I want to welcome back to Hot Topics Live, my girl Kaula of Women with Stories. Hey, girl.
I'm so excited to be here again after 1 year. Wow. The same month, same time. So that is amazing. And yeah. Please, guys, tune in. We have a very hot topic today. I can't wait for this session to start. And we talk about a new topic. Because we always talk about women and women abuse and what's happening around. And it's important to see the other side too. So can't wait for this topic.
There's always two sides to every story, right? There's always two sides to every story. And when I took critical thinking in college, we learned that the truth usually lies somewhere in between, right? Mm. But we know if women get abused, we know men also do, but we don't talk about it. And we got to see a lot of things in this case with Johnny Depp, because one of the things that was said to him was that no one will believe you. Right.
Yes.
So we're gonna bring on my guest, Angeline. She's amazing. She is the host of Let's Break the Silence with Angeline, a podcast that I had the privilege to be on one of her very first episodes, and talking about domestic violence and abuse. And she's here because she's been really closely following this trial, because it's really significant to what she does and how she helps people through sharing their stories of abuse, right? So there's Angeline. She's ready to come on, and we're going to bring her on right now.
Hi, Kia.
Hi, welcome back to Hot Topics.
Thank you. It's such a pleasure to be here. And hi, Kaula. It's a pleasure to meet you.
Yeah, pleasure as well. I'm so happy to talk about this topic today. It's a foreign topic for me. Mm. And I know we are going to learn a lot about it.
Absolutely. So
before we get started, let's tell everybody where we are. You know, Hot Topics Live is a global show. Our viewers are from everywhere around the world, and our guests are from everywhere around the world. So this time, Angeline, where are you and what time is it now?
Okay, I am in Saratoga Springs, New York, and the time right now is 4:42 p.m. Eastern Time.
And you, Kaula? Where are you?
Well, I'm in Paris right now, and it's a little bit late. It's 10:40, but yeah, we can have a great soiree, as we say.
we're gonna have a soiree. It is 1:42 p.m. on the beautiful Pacific Northwest of the United States, and let's jump right into it. So, Angeline, one of the things that I remember most about this case with Johnny Depp is the beginning, like years ago, when it all came out and it was exposed that he was this abuser, and that he was like, he was beating this girl and she was a victim. And the whole Me Too movement sort of rallied around it and everything. Hi, Tendai. And I remember thinking to myself, having been, as I know many people are, especially in my age group, a huge fan of Johnny Depp, and sort of followed his career, and like, I knew who he was dating, and you know, all of these things since I was a teenager, really. And I thought to myself, oh my God, no, it can't be true. But you know, as a woman, you don't want to victim shame, number one. It's like a really slippery slope. You don't want to not support a woman, and you don't want to disbelieve her. But at the same time, when you've been following this person, I mean, I don't know him, but you get a feel for how someone is over all of these years of following their career. And you just feel like, no one's ever said that about him before. He seems like such a good person. I can't believe that this is true. There's sort of a cognitive dissonance, if you will, about what you're experiencing. What was it like for you when these allegations came out about Johnny Depp years ago?
I was in disbelief. I could not believe it. I didn't want to believe it. I'm the first person to stand up for a woman because I myself am a 12-year survivor of domestic abuse, and you know my story of how I went from victim to victor. So when this all came out, I was like, oh my goodness. I was in disbelief. I was in shock. I said, there's no way that he could abuse Amber Heard. But as I was following the trial, which I did halfway through the trial, I was watching him speak in front of the jury. And he was so humble. And even though the op-ed article didn't mention his name, it doesn't matter. He knew. He mm-hmm. knew. And that really affected his career. And, you know, with Disney and everything. But when he took the stand and shared his story about his childhood trauma and his rough upbringing, that really opened up my eyes. I mean, literally, he opened up to the whole world and shared his story of childhood trauma, which unfortunately he suppressed. So anytime that you suppress your feelings of childhood trauma and everything, it has a long lasting ripple effect in your personal life and your career. But when all of this came out about Amber Heard, but when he shared his story, then that really opened up my eyes. I said, this man is telling the truth about his whole life. And then as the trial went on and I was observing Amber Heard's behavior on the stand, I said, there's no way she's lying. I said, in my view, she is a lying narcissist, and she set him up. All the recordings, all the tape recordings, the videos and everything, she set him up. And unfortunately, you know, that fortunately, the jury was able to see through that. So, because that was my biggest concern. I mean, I would, you know, go on lives and I would, you know, watch people's comments and I would say, oh my God. Yeah, but I would watch her. Just her demeanor, her whole demeanor. I said, you know what? I said, she's lying. She's a lying narcissist, and she's lying about everything. She couldn't even remember what she was testifying about. I mean, she just, like, you know, like she lost it. And when Camille Vasquez came in, oh boy, that was the icing on the cake. That was the icing on the cake. And I said, how could she do this to this man? You know, how could she do this? Because he basically gave her everything.
You know, I think it's interesting because years ago when they got together and he had been married and he had a family and everything, and I thought to myself, this feels like a midlife crisis, and I think it's going to be a mistake.
That's you know what I mean? Felt
true. Yeah. Yeah. And boy, do I ever wish that I was wrong about that. Because you do see a lot of times when men get older, and especially if they start to feel a little bit bad about aging, like the aging hottie, if you will, right. As Johnny Depp was, they start to sort of look outside of themselves or maybe outside of the long-term committed relationship that they've been in to try to make themselves feel better. And then I think that they become easy prey for women with ill intentions who may be young, beautiful, glamorous, and opportunistic. And so a lot of times you see men fall prey to this type of predator. And we don't often think of women as predators, but at least as a woman, you don't want to think that.
No.
But it's very, very possible that you can be preyed upon by a type of person who is just looking for, you know, a way up to improve their career, financial security, like all different types of reasons. And I think that there's a time period in a man's life when he's getting a little older, maybe closer to midlife, 50, 55, where he is definitely more likely to fall for something like that. And when the marriage came apart, it just was not surprising for me. And I felt so sad that he had been a victim to that sort of predator. And I'd had no idea how deep it was going to be. So my question for you, Angeline, is what is a narcissist?
Well, I was watching clips of like she and Johnny together at these events, at the red carpet events. She wanted attention. She was trying to take the attention away from Johnny. And I would see her, you know, like she would pose for the camera. Then she would run to an actress and take, you know, like take selfies and take pictures and everything. So a narcissist is someone, I mean, who she, you know, a manipulator. You know, she manipulated him and she used him. Now, in my case, you know, the age difference, I could see the age difference between them. So I think they were 20 years apart, something like that. But she was, in my view, an opportunist. So the narcissist, you know, she did everything that she did to control everything, especially when, you know, why would she videotape him? Why would she take pictures of him passed out with ice cream all over him? You know,
like why, you're building a case. Like, but why would you do that?
But why would you tape record? And actually, it reminded me of myself. Now, in my case, my ex was a narcissist. He would do the same thing. He would tape record. He would take pictures. He would take videos of me. You know, why would she do that? Why would she do that? You know, like she would take videos of him, you know, drinking wine or pouring a glass of, well, mega pint, whatever you want to call it. But, you know, and in his past relationships, he never hurt both, you know, Kate Moss.
Right.
Yeah, never hurt. He never hurt them. So I could tell that she was mean. I could tell she was cruel. I could read right through her. And like I said, for my, you know, for me, I'm always the first person to stand up for a woman. Okay. But not in this case. So just lying, you know, lying, manipulative. You know, she tried to take the attention away from him. And I remember seeing those video clips and I'm just like, are you kidding me? This is not your show. This is Johnny Depp. Okay. You're just there to support him. Yeah. So, you know, stop with the camera, taking all these selfies of yourself with all these actresses and, you know, and the crowd, you know, trying to get attention and everything. She's just not a person to be trusted. She's not a person to be trusted. And she sets a horrible example for women.
Yeah. So we're going to get into that a bit, but Kala, I want to know what you think. Were you following the trial?
I read 2 articles about the trial, and I have seen Amber's Instagram about the trial, what she wrote, and she was talking as if she is representing women who are being abused, and she's in a violent environment. So she was seeking the support of feminists and people from all over the world to support her so she can win her game. But unfortunately, she couldn't find that support that she was looking for. And that's why she lost her game. She thought that a lot of women will support her and will buy into her game. But it's just when you see life, as Angelina said in the trial, she can't even remember the pictures that she took because of her bruises and what's happened. She can't even remember which day she took it. So during the trial, it's just like the lies start to come out, and everyone starts to, I mean, lose faith in her. And that is, it's just disappointing to see someone who is not really abused or just wanted to play in a game of, or take that card of I'm being abused from other women, as you said, Kia.
I agree. I mean, obviously none of us were there behind closed doors, and we understand, we've known, if you follow Johnny's career, that he has been known to be a heavy drinker and to get into drugs and all of these things. So I'm not going to hold judgment to any of them, actually, because I'm sure they partied together. Right. But to then try to use that, you know, is it something that everyone kind of knows about him, and then to portray yourself as this victim, but you had to kind of know that going in. Maybe you didn't know how bad it was, but then how does it devolve into this sort of abuse thing? How does it get to you pooping on his bed, right? Like, that's just insane. Why are we, I understand, I've seen relationships devolve to the point where people are recording each other. Mm-hmm. I've seen relationships evolve to where the male and the female are physically violent with each other. Not just it's one or the other. It's like they're fighting each other. You know, I have seen those kinds of relationships firsthand. They are toxic and they are not healthy. The minute you want to lay hands on each other is the minute you should be parting ways and getting away from each other as quickly as possible. But it happens. It happens, and it can happen so quickly that you find yourself in that situation, and it's not ever something that you planned for. It's what you do after that. So why stay? You know, if he was doing these things to her and treating her this way, she's a woman of means. There are so many women around the world that have no way out, who are trapped in situations, and they don't have money. They don't have a way to escape their abuser, right? So why, if you're a woman of means, would you stay in a toxic situation? There's a trauma there within you as well, if you're doing that. So obviously we learned through the course of the trial that Johnny had a narcissistic mother. And that's probably what the attraction was to Amber, because he just went into a relationship with his mother and he had to heal. In a way, for him, this relationship with her was a way to heal that and move past that childhood early wounding. Because he just repeated a pattern there. He married his mother and she proceeded to abuse him. And there's so many things that happened in the trial. Like, I remember one part was the whole Kate Moss thing, where Amber tried to allude that Kate Moss was pushed down the steps, but without saying it in so many words. And then Kate comes on and she's like, no, he was nothing but sweet and loving and helped me. So there's so many people that would believe that of Johnny. Now, we can believe that he does lots of coke. We can believe that he drinks a lot.
Right.
You know what I mean? But it was so, difficult. I mean, for me, in my own intuition, to believe that he was abusive to a woman. Like, I just couldn't believe it. You know, it was very difficult to believe that was the case. And in fact, the entire time I thought maybe their relationship had devolved to a point where they were kind of fighting each other. You know, they had gotten physical with each other, which is still not okay. But that's a very different portrayal than saying I'm being abused by this man. He's a drug addict, he's an alcoholic, and he's abusing me. And trying to play on the sentiments of the public to garner support when you're doing all of these things, right? And exactly. and you are part of this. So yeah. And with this, Johnny has become sort of the face of men who experience abuse. And we did the verbal abuse series, right? And I gotta tell you, just recently in my personal experience, I witnessed a guy being abused by a woman.
Really?
Ooh. Yeah, just recently. And I had to get myself out of the situation. I tried to encourage the female to stop speaking to him like that. And she was inebriated. So I had to leave the situation because I wasn't there in person, but it was via video. And I had to leave the conversation because I couldn't bear to witness that. And so I saw firsthand, and it was in my opinion, that the way that she was speaking to this man was inappropriate and harmful. So I know that it happens. And men don't often speak up about it, Angeline. Why is that?
They don't speak up about it because they are afraid, and they've, you know, there's a stigma. So the stigma is that they're, you know, like they're the tough guy, and oh, how could they, you know, be abused? Hi, George. Okay. So, you know, so there's a stigma. And it's because I think part of the reason is because of the media and, you know, men, you know, like I've had male friends who have come forward to me in private and told me about their situation. Mm-hmm. You know, and I actually observed one time when I was out that there was a woman just verbally abusing the man, and I felt bad. Like you said, and I was like, you know, and I'm watching this, and I'm at a restaurant, I'm sitting outside, and the woman is literally yelling at him. And the guy is just sitting there in silence. They've mm-hmm. suffered in silence too long.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's suffering, you know, and a friend of mine, she was telling me while this trial was going on, we were talking about it, and she said she has a male friend who was married, and his wife, forget about it, just verbal abuse, and she's hit him, and they're afraid to speak out. They're afraid to speak out. It's the fear.
There's so much layers to that, Angeline, right? Because it's like, who's going to believe me? People are going to make fun of me. I'm a man, right? Judith Light did this movie. I forget what it was called, but I was super young. And it's an old Lifetime Network movie, but she was the abuser in her relationship, right? And that's what opened my eyes to it, because up until then, I must have been a teenager, like maybe a teenager when I saw it. But it never occurred to me that men would be the victims of abuse until that time. And from then I was like, wow, that's something. Then when we did the verbal abuse book that we read on Instagram,
I remember that.
You can go to the Hot Topics Live, Hot Topics, the podcast on Instagram. And you can see we were doing a book review about this book we read on verbal abuse. And the thing is a lot of people don't even know that they're doing it. They don't realize that the way they're talking to someone and communicating with them when they're angry could be verbal abuse. A lot of women do it. A lot of men do it. I've certainly done it. I'm not trying to be like I'm perfect and blameless, but I've talked big shit to people before in arguments and relationships and stuff like that, and did not realize that was the case until I read that book and was more conscious about, you know, how I had copied toxic patterns of relationship partners I was in and what I had become because of that. Right. So it's a conscious thing to not do it. But a lot of people don't even really realize that they're in that sort of toxic relationship, and that as a female, the way you're talking to this man that you're in a relationship with can be verbally abusive, calling them out of their name, swearing at them, even yelling at them. You know, all of these things are not healthy for relationships. And we got a chance to see that Johnny Depp experienced a lot of that stuff, and he brought it to the forefront because he could have stayed quiet, right? Mm. But because he decided to speak up and fight back, it made it so much more aware, made us all so much more aware that men go through this, you know?
Yeah, exactly. You know, despite having the issues that he had with his drinking and the drugs, and everything, he brought this out in the forefront. And a friend of mine, you know, a friend of mine asked me today, you know, why all this publicity? Like, it literally exploded. I saw videos on TikTok. I saw videos on Instagram, on Facebook. And, you know, I said, because Johnny Depp is bringing awareness that men can be abused. That's the bottom line. He is bringing awareness and bringing this issue to the forefront. And I give him a lot of credit because he fought back and he won yesterday.
Yeah. I'm so happy he did.
I'm very happy that he won because, you know, he had great lawyers and he had a great case. She has no case. And just because, you know, like today I read that she was going to appeal it, it doesn't mean that she's going to win.
Right.
That's just going to stall, you know, her paying him back. But, you know, she had no right to do that. She had no right to do that, but she lied about Kate Moss. And then Kate Moss testified that did it. When she said that, you know, Kate Moss fell down the stairs, but Johnny Depp came down, picked her up, carried her up, and saw and got her medical attention immediately.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Whatever she said was, in my opinion, not true. Well, it is not true. And the jury saw through that because that was my concern, whether the jury is going to see right through her. And they did. They did unanimously.
I think narcissists have deep wounding, right? They have very deep wounding. And how that manifests itself is then they seek a supply of energy from another person to help them try to fill that void in them.
Exactly.
But the way that they seek that attention is actually very negative. So it's very abusive. And what they do a lot of times, from my understanding, is they're very charming and they fool everyone except the person that they're abusing. So, and they get so full of themselves with it that they think that they can fool anyone. So I think in the case of Amber Heard, I've read some articles that say that she has narcissistic tendencies or sort of indicate that she's a narcissist and that she could fool the entire world with, you know, her acting and her stories, and that she was so sort of full of herself that she believed that everyone would just believe her, and that she manipulated cancel culture and the system in order to, you know, make herself bigger. And it sort of backfired because had this been true, you know, her career would skyrocket. She would be sort of this poster woman for abuse women everywhere. And she would have a platform that was so huge that she could actually do good work with it. And the fact of the matter is, it's not true. The case of the matter is she's a perpetrator.
Absolutely.
Which is horrible for women everywhere, like we said earlier, who actually really do experience this, because it makes it harder for them to be believed when they come forward with the truth. Do you think that's true?
Yes, it is true. Yes, it is true. It just makes it more difficult, you know, for women. And I have a lot of women friends on my Facebook page and on my TikTok now and Instagram reel. They told me that she made it more difficult for women to speak out because she lied. She basically, you know, lied. She was the abuser. And so many women came out in support of Johnny Depp. So many women came out to support him, and men too. And there were a few who disagreed. That's okay. We agreed to disagree. But the point is that the evidence showed that she was clearly the abuser. I mean, she manipulated him. And for me to say this, okay, she used them. And she took photographs. She did all this. Like when she filed the petition, and she was with her friend, smiling, along with the other people who stayed at the penthouse in L.A., which Johnny Depp paid for.
Mm-hmm.
Freeloaders. I said, this is disgusting. I said, how could she do this? But it makes it more, now, you know, she's an actress, you know, she's an actress and everything. But after the divorce, all she had to do was just walk away. All she was paid. Keep your mouth shut. Take the money and just. And if you want to do something for women, fine. But guess what? She decided she wanted revenge and it backfired.
What do you think, Kaula, about all of this?
I think that she was not only, she was not the lonely in her thoughts. I think that a lot of people supported her to do, to go through the case and to move the allegation and to talk about it in the articles. And that's the problem. She is a toxic person, but she has also a toxic support.
You hit the nail on the head, right?
Yeah. If she was alone and everyone told her, no, don't do this because that is a big mistake, she didn't even have the guidance or someone to stop her. And that is what is very interesting, that you see she didn't play the game by herself.
Exactly.
Someone was pushing her. I don't think that a woman will go up front alone. I think someone also was pushing her to that direction that she wanted to go, of course.
So they supported her in it, right? Yeah. You know, she probably, I can imagine, you know, her lawyers and everybody that she spoke to. A lot of people fall prey to a narcissist, right? They're charming. They're believable. You know, they come across very lovely, except to the person who's their supply, to whom they are abusing. And no one else sees that side of them. I mean, Angeline, you've been on this podcast a few times and you talked about your ex-husband, and that's almost exactly how you described him. Everybody thought he was a great guy.
Exactly. Everyone thought he was a great guy. And charming to everyone else except me.
Mm-hmm. And that's just what it is. So then you talk about, I call them flying monkeys, right? And I think that's a term that's used amongst the narcissism sort of community when they're talking about the people who assist. And you made that really great point, Kaula, because people unknowingly even assist the narcissist in their abuse to a person. And I think that that's what these people were, the support system for Amber Heard could be considered her flying monkeys, right? Because they contributed to this abuse. All of the people who supported this contributed to the abuse of Johnny Depp.
Exactly. They all did. No doubt about it.
Tendai makes some really good points I want to put up. And I'm going to read it for the people who are listening to the podcast and not watching the live or the video version. So Tendai says, people think celebrities and wealthy people are immune to domestic violence and abusive relationships, which is totally incorrect. There should be more awareness and education regarding this issue because it's more prevalent than people realize. And I 100% agree. We saw that with Kim Kardashian and what she was going through and the harassment that was playing out on social media through her divorce. That's finally a bit quiet now, but something so private as sort of working out, you know, who's taking care of the kids when, how we're going to change our lives after a divorce, because I, for one, experienced that going through a divorce with kids and having to negotiate how things are going to run. I had the luxury of only sharing with the public what I wanted to share. I didn't have my ex-husband going on social media, making comments or doing any, you know what I mean? Even though I deal with things with him that can be stressful and uncomfortable and unpleasant at times, because, you know, breakups are hard, divorce is hard. I had sort of the privilege of anonymity, whereas Kim did not, and her ex chose to play everything out in public, which was really abusive, in my opinion, and harassing. And started to feel really uncomfortable, I think, for a lot of people. in the world. And that is something that if Kim Kardashian, another woman of means, cannot avoid having this sort of abuse taking place, what does that say for the woman who doesn't have, like, we don't have that support. We don't have the money to just move houses or so simply and take care of our kids. She has so many kids to take care of the kids and things like that. And we have to interact with our ex maybe more. It's just, we have to understand that this does happen for women that are everyday 9-to-5 women and impoverished. Mm-hmm. And this also does happen for celebrities. And it's the same emotional damage and upset that we feel regardless of who you are and what your status is. What do you think about that, Angeline?
Wow. Yeah, I yes, I would agree with you on that. Definitely. Definitely.
You know, and go on.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say it's the same sort of thing with Johnny Depp and Amber Heard because men who don't have this platform to fight back, you know, they suffer and go through this in silence. And now with Johnny Depp being a celebrity, we see that he's going through it too. So we can say, okay, this celebrity guy is going through it. And look how horrible this was for him. Imagine how bad it is for the guy who can't fight back, who's been canceled or who has been stigmatized in his community by false allegations.
Exactly. Totally agree with you. And I mean, Johnny Depp had the money and the resources to fight back. Okay. And that was his own money. He used his own money to fight back. Now, for other men, now this happens on all socioeconomic levels. So mm-hmm. It could happen to someone who's an actor. It can happen to a blue collar worker. It could happen to an executive. Trust me, I've seen it all. Mm-hmm. I have seen it all. So it can happen to a couple, like with mine, people thought that we were the Hollywood couple. But that wasn't the case. That wasn't the case behind closed doors. And, you know, we were doing very good financially until the stock market crashed in 2008. But what I'm saying is, you know, there's a stigma. And men, there are too many men out there who suffer in silence. So I believe what Johnny Depp did, that he not only did he raise awareness, but he gave men that voice and empowerment that they can too share their stories. And it doesn't matter where they are in their life right now. It doesn't matter if they're rich. It doesn't matter. They have a voice too. And it's important to bring awareness because I know that last night on my, right, I just want to read what Tende says. And are probably less to be believed. Right, exactly. Tende is right. Yes. They are less likely to be believed and probably fear being seen as weak because, you know, because when we talk about domestic violence, domestic abuse, it's always about the woman being abused. And there's not enough, you know, not enough men out there speaking up. But I believe now that this is a turning point. Not only did he win in court, he won public opinion and there were evidence of lies and he had the courage to speak out. And he, not only that, he had to carry this with him for 6 years, carry all this drama. I mean, when you hear some of the recordings in court, I'm like, how could he live through that? I would have a nervous breakdown. I'm like, how could he live through that?
It's horrifying.
Horrifying.
I didn't watch all of it.
Yeah, me too.
But I did watch some.
I watched some too.
And what I did see was pretty horrifying.
Okay. Oh, tell me about pretty it. The horrifying. Parts that I saw. Now, I didn't watch the whole thing. I watched parts of it. But there was one day where I had it on during my lunch, and I was home. It was horrible when they're playing the recording of the two of them fighting, you know, like they were fighting, but she was like really harassing them. Like she was literally verbally harassing them. I'm like, and drunk and high and just because she was no better.
Mm-hmm.
She took drugs too.
But who was recording all of this?
Okay, so this was broadcast live on all the live streams like ABC News, Fox News, Law and Crime, Ben Shapiro. They brought this live, but these were recorded. So apparently she did some recordings, and I think he did too, you know, to prove his case.
It's what happens.
Yeah,
that's what happens when you have money. You know, or actually anyone really, if your relationship has devolved to that point where you're talking crazy to each other and things are happening, it is actually quite wise to record what's going on, because if you have to use it in court, look at what just happened there. You know what I mean? So, and I do know couples who have done that as their relationships were, as I like to say, devolving and just coming apart.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Cover your ass, as we say in the military. You have to. And it's interesting because in the military, on the Female Veterans podcast, I often talk about military sexual trauma, right? This is a huge topic, sexual abuse in the military amongst women. And we always say that the statistic, I believe, is 1 in 4. It's 1 in 100 men that actually are survivors of a sexual trauma in the military, right? But that's reported. So 1 out of every 100 men. Now, it may not sound like a lot, but when you think about how many men are in the military, you start to realize that's a lot of people, and that's only the ones that report it. So then why don't they report? Well, I talk to women all the time, right? And the women tell me why they didn't report. I talk to women on my podcast who've reported and some who didn't. And the ones who don't report, which is a shocking amount, okay, we'll say because of the stigma. We'll say because people won't believe them. We'll say because the unit will treat them harshly, especially if the person who perpetrated the assault is a beloved figure on the base, right? So now imagine that. So many women don't report. Imagine that for men. You know, and it's the same thing.
Right. Exactly.
It's the same thing with domestic violence. You know, I mean, and verbal abuse often precedes, you know, domestic violence, right? So I say, and like, look at your relationships that you're in right now. How are you talking to each other? Especially when you're angry, because relationships are supposed to be a safe space and a secure space, right? And if you're talking to each other in a really shitty ways when you're angry, what are you doing? Because when you're fighting, you're supposed to be resolving a problem. You are not against each other. You're supposed to be a team repairing something together.
Exactly.
Right? So a fight should make you closer at the end then tear you apart more. So if that's happening to you, I encourage you to take a look within and see what's going on in your relationship. Are you in a healthy relationship? Are you in a relationship you should remain in? Because it doesn't mean that because you're having verbal conflicts. You know, I dated a guy who whenever we would fight, he would say the most awful things to me. And I had to tell him, hey, look, we're not going to last. Because you keep talking to me greasy like that, and it's not going to go well. Okay, we're going to end this because I don't want to be talked to like that. I don't be called names. I don't want to be anything. This is just something we're supposed to be working through. Don't say things when you're angry that you're going to regret when you're not angry anymore. And then you're going to be begging back, right? So it's important to look at your relationships and set boundaries for how you want to be treated, whether you're a male or a female. I'm raising boys. You think I'm going to be okay with my sons getting abused by some girl or some guy, depending on what they decide to be when they grow up. Happy Pride, by the way. So is my point, you know? So I think it's a lot about education and awareness. And I'm so happy that Johnny Depp made this so, made us all so much more aware of what can happen no matter what your socioeconomic level is, right?
Exactly. He is the voice for men. And not only is he a voice for men, but he is giving men a platform to, because they have a voice too. Women have a voice too, but men do too. Okay? It takes two to tango and it takes two to make up. And there's always three sides to every story, and the third side is the truth. So in this case, the truth came out. And Johnny was, when he was in court testifying, he was real, like very real and very humble. But also, you know, he broke down. And I remember a few times he was almost in tears. That was not theatrical. That was real. Like, it was so real to me. It touched my heart. I mean, it just, he really touched my heart. And I'm very happy for him. I'm very happy that he finally got justice. The jury basically freed him. And he felt very humbled. See? He was never antagonistic. He just told the truth. He told the truth. And I was starting, so as I was, watching this, I decided to put up some reels about the subject of the best of men being abused. And, you know, there was some comedy in there about Amber, but that's just social media. Okay. So one of my reels today on Facebook hit 1 million views.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. My reach. So I'm reaching people, men and women, who were in domestic violence situations, or they're going through a transition right now. And I'm having these real conversations. I'm like, wow, where are these people? They saw my reel. And it just, the reel just took off. It's only been up for 3 weeks and it took off. Now on Instagram, on my Let's Break the Silence, please follow me there, because you'll find my podcast there. And I do weekly podcast episodes every Monday. And I'm going to be, you know, I'm going to be the voice for men too. Thank you, Kia. And Kia was a special guest, one of my first guests on my podcast 3 years ago. Standing ovation. I literally knew nothing about podcasting, because I had a vision and a dream that I wanted to give people a voice and give people a platform. So thank you so much. Yes. My podcast is on Apple, Spotify, Google, and pretty much anywhere you could listen to podcasts. So every Monday morning, there is a weekly podcast episode. But let's go back to Instagram. So Instagram, I started to put up reels and I started to, you know, put up some posts. And the post that I put up yesterday about the win with Johnny Depp, it went viral in 30 minutes.
Wow, that's fantastic.
And my reels have gone viral. One of them is over 200,000. But there are real genuine people who are commenting on my posts.
People care about this. It's huge.
People care about this.
It's huge.
This is a huge issue. This is huge. And people are commenting. These are just nice people, you know, real life people. And what I love about Johnny is that he's authentic. Authentic and vulnerable, okay? But when all these people were commenting on my reels, I'm like, wow, this is a whole new world. What did I do? All I did was put up a couple of reels and posts about the case, because it hits home with me. I mean, you know, my passion is helping domestic abuse survivors break the silence. And men have suffered in silence too long. For way, way too long. So Johnny Depp is a voice for men. And he opened up that platform for men because they do have a voice.
And they need to be heard.
And they need to be heard. Correct.
There's too much cancel culture. Listen, I am a self-proclaimed feminist, but I very much love men. And you can tell it because the people who watch this show are mostly men. We're getting more women these days. Yeah. But my audience, honestly, is if you look at my analytics, it's largely men. I love men. And the reason why I can tell you I'm a feminist is because I believe in true equality. I don't think that women should be better than men. We're just different, but we deserve equal, you know, and I think that everyone deserves to be treated with love and respect and value, and men and women alike, right? And I think to me, that's true feminism, just wanting equality, right? No matter what, you know, equal pay, equal whatever. The military is like that. It's one of the things I love about the military. Everyone gets paid the same based on your rank. Women don't make less than men, anything like that. And I think if the military can do it, every company can do it. And I think that this is an important thing to distinguish the fact that it's not the I Hate Men Club, you know, or it shouldn't be, in my opinion. I think men are important. We need them. I think it's okay to need them. I think it's okay to value them. I think it's okay to just give them the respect that they love. Like I said, I'm raising boys, so it's important to me. You know, sure. And I think that it's, we need to stop when things that start really, really good and have a really good purpose, like Me Too, go wrong, is when it's not hashtag Me Too Men or Men Too, because it happens to men too. We can't be so quick to just go, oh, this girl made an allegation, so he's bad. We have to weigh these things out. I'm not saying we should victim shame. I'm not saying we should dismiss a woman who's being abused. I'm saying that we have to look at the evidence and at the facts before we rush to these decisions.
Exactly. Absolutely. You know? Absolutely. And there are some women groups, some that unfortunately frown on men. So I was at a networking event. This was going back 5 years ago, or 6 years ago locally. And it was a chamber event, and this woman came up to me. We were talking, and she was talking about, you know, women, and you know how she's saying that women make less money than the men do, but she was basically putting men down. So a guy came up. He overheard the conversation. He said, "Why do you women always put down men? Don't we have a voice?" So you know what I said to him? I said, let's step over here and let's have a conversation. So I talked to him and I got to know him. I said, yes, men have a voice too. And the other woman just walked away. She was basically being snotty, okay? And saying, you know, that we're better than men. No, it's equal. Like you said, it's equal. You know, there has to be equality. So when I talked to him, he felt better that he bought me lunch.
I
was like, oh, that's stupid. That's so nice of you to do that. But, you know, I calmed him down because he was really upset.
I talk to a lot of men who feel like that, who feel very marginalized and very attacked. They feel attacked, canceled. It's very interesting, I think, to see how all of this works. And obviously, you know, it's case by case, because a lot of times, you know, women are being victimized and abused, but we have to just be more careful and do our due diligence before we make blanket statements, I think, and generalizations. I think generalizations always lead you down a bad path.
Totally agree with you. Absolutely. That's what this woman was doing. She was like generalizing and and putting, you know, men down, and he got really upset. because you're always going to all these meetings and you're going to all these functions. And why can't we have a group? I said, you know what? You can have a men's group too.
Mm-hmm. You see them now. You see them now. My friend Brandon Archer, who was a guest on this show last year, you were the co-host.
I saw him.
Yes, he has these men's groups, and he has, and he advocates. If you haven't seen that episode, then you have to go to the YouTube page or channel.
Subscribe.
Second, watch that episode. It's on YouTube, or you can find it on our Facebook page. We stream to both those places, or you can listen to it. I actually just uploaded it to the podcast. So season 2 of Hot Topics Live, the podcast, was uploaded yesterday. And so you can go listen to it on Apple or Spotify or wherever you listen to your podcast, and you can hear that episode about men. And I think he made a lot of really important points about men's group getting together, supporting each other, you know, healing their inner child wounds, being conscious about their emotions and actually leaning into them, because they're so stigmatized and they're so taught to be hard and don't cry and don't show emotion and you have to be strong and you have to, you know, all of these things that men are taught. I know, because I teach it to, you know, I'm teaching my kids, but you also have to teach them that it's okay to have your emotions. It's okay to feel your feelings. It's just very interesting the way I'm bringing my boys up after having interviewed him and understanding, you know, the way that men and boys need to be taught versus the way they've been taught in the past. It's I think a much more healthy way. And like George is saying here, it is quite an issue and men are less likely to believe. So I think this is the beauty of Johnny Depp having fought his case and won. Granted, they were both given, they were both defamed each other, but it was impossible. If you're going to, you're going to have to sort of, it's like an argument. You know what I mean?
I know.
Like, she's making these claims and he's making these claims back. So of course they defamed each other, you know? So, okay. They both had to pay, but he had to pay way less and he had no punitive damages, if I recall correctly. And she did. That's how you can say he won it. But I definitely feel like this has been a really important case. It's captured the hearts of people all around the world and brought to the forefront the fact that sometimes men are set up, and they just are. Sometimes they're set up.
Exactly. 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 Yeah, I wanted to talk about the men's support group. So I had joined the networking group last year, and I was interviewed on a podcast given by a male coach. So I was giving my perspective. And guess what? 3 months later, he decided to start a support group for men. See that?
We need more of them. We need them all over the world.
Exactly. We need them
men's
all.
Men's coaching.
Mm-hmm. Men's coaching. Exactly. Exactly. He does couples coaching and he does also, you know, couples coaching. but he and another friend, they started a support group for men. Which I believe is amazing, because there are men, you know, there's a stigma, like you said, they're taught to be tough and not to cry and not to do this and not, you know, like not to show emotion. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's not realistic.
If you suppress your, we know it's like psych 101. If you suppress your emotions, it causes damage to you and to the people around you.
Exactly.
You know, so
exactly.
you have to get those emotions out one way or another in a way you feel safe, whether it's journaling, whether it's joining a support group, whether it's seeing a therapist, whether it's having a group of friends that you feel comfortable sharing with. But we are learning in the modern day and age that it is important for men to have this sort of community, just the way it is for women. What do you think, Kaula?
I remember we were talking last week about something called intergenerational trauma.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that's happened from generation after generation with the war, with colonization, what's happened. is that this trauma does they don't heal their trauma generation after generation. It led to the children, they adopt the trauma of their parents and they kept it inside them and they don't heal. So this is a result of what's happened when the wounds are not healing and when trauma are not healing. And also we don't have that support group of men, a safe space for them to share like women, like we do. And I think it's a societal issue because we always talk about a women's support group, where to look for help to support. But for men, they don't have that kind of way or guidance to go through a safe space between men, without including in between men, to share their problems. And I also remember hearing some men talking with each other, and I see their conversation. They do not open that much. For example, a guy will say to another, well, don't act like a pussy or don't be like this. And they will open up when they are going to drink alcohol or taking drugs. And they will say, oh, well, it's just, that just drugs. That's why I was saying that. So there is a problem of expressing emotions. And I think it's kind of emotional intelligence, I think. So right. The way that men needs to have a really safe space to support each other without being another, like a third party, like female involved in it. And they need that. Men need that, as women do.
And you know, as you make a good point, because my son said something to me recently, actually, and he said, you know, Mom, I have these guy friends. And he said, I'm so happy that I have this really cool group of guy friends now. He's like, because I realize that I'm such a guy. And I was like, what does that mean? And he's like, well, I was essentially raised by women. So I need to be around guys. We do dumb stuff. We say different things. Like, and he was kind of trying to explain it to me. It was really cute. And I totally got it because I'm like, wow, he's always getting the woman's perspective because I'm a woman and I'm raising him.
Wow.
But he does need male energy. He does. You need a balance. We have it within us, masculine and feminine energy. We have it in the world around us. So he needs that time to just be with the guys. Mm-hmm. And also he needs positive male role models in his life as well. You know what I mean? To help him grow in a healthy way and develop, you know, healthy emotions and reactions to things and be able to process life in a healthy way. Right. So it's really important, I think, for men to have that, and boys, you know, to have just good, healthy males to be around, to share things with, and to do it the way guys do it. And not necessarily, like, if he needs his mom, he knows he can come talk to me and he knows he can share his emotions with me and everything like that. But maybe he doesn't want to talk about emotions. Maybe he just wants to do guy stuff. And then he has his guys for that. So I think it's a healthy balance. And it's part of emotional intelligence as well.
Exactly. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, well, thanks, Tendai. Tendai says, thank you, ladies, for the great, informative, engaging, and very educative session. Keep up the great work and say no to domestic violence/abuse in all its forms. I got to go now. Thank you, babe. Thanks for tuning in today.
Thank you, Tendai. Thank you.
We appreciate you. And if you are listening to this podcast, then you want to watch it live. Sometimes, or be a part of the conversation, then you just tune in on Thursdays or Wednesdays this summer. I'm going to have Wednesdays available again now that my kids are going to be out of school. So I might pop on here on Wednesdays or Thursdays. And if you want to be part of the conversation, just watch live and then you can ask questions and participate and join in all the fun. So ladies, we have been 1 hour and 4 minutes. So we're going to wrap up soon. Angeline, is there anything else you want to share? Because I have one more question for you, but is there anything else you want to share before I ask?
Yes, actually, I would like to share this. There is hope, okay? There is hope for men. And don't be afraid to use your voice. Don't be afraid. You have a voice too. So just remember that. Be assured that you have a voice. So if you, you know, if you would like to message me and talk to me, you know, about this, absolutely. I have a Linktree account there where you can connect with me on all social media platforms. And it's as far as we need equality. You know, this is an issue that I'm happy that Johnny Depp brought to the forefront regarding men being abused. And just, you know, don't be afraid to talk. Don't be afraid. Like this person who came up to me at this networking event, we became good friends.
Aww.
Yeah, we became really, really good friends because I listened, not the other woman who was just like, whatever, you know, she was just basically putting men down. And, you know, men seek, there are resources, there are support groups out there. There are also meetup groups too. Mm-hmm. So make sure, you know, that you check locally, you know, wherever you live in the area. If you need that support, go out there. Don't stay home and just twiddle your thumbs. Go out there and get the support that you need. And there are, you know, like I said, that there are plenty of agencies out there who would be willing to help. No doubt about it. Look for a support group. The internet, the biggest Bible for me is Google and YouTube. So educate yourself. Like Tente was talking about, you know, educate yourself. And, you know, just know that you have a voice and there's hope. So, and if you would like to follow me, obviously follow me on my Instagram and on my Linktree account. I do have a 90-day coaching program. And I, you know, I want to, you know, my coaching programs and my podcast focuses on empowerment. I bring real life stories onto my podcast. So if you would like to be a guest on my podcast, you can book a call with me through the Linktree account. And we can see, you know, we can talk and then we can have you on my podcast.
Yeah, I think sharing stories are healing. So yes, breaking are. The silence is so important. I do my version of that on the Female Veterans Podcast, where women share their stories of military service, good or bad. Right. And those bad ones, let me tell you, it is very healing for them to share those stories. I've found over the years of doing this, I think it'll be 3 years next month. And also for women who are not ready to share, who have had the similar experiences, can feel less alone. So the same thing with your podcast, I think it's so important to share. And I think the more men who actually do feel like they can, especially in a podcast form where no one sees your face and you can even be anonymous if you really want it to,
exactly.
you can share anonymous. Your story, right. and help other people to feel less alone or to get some support through that. So I think it's amazing what you're doing, Angeline.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. I really, really appreciate that. You know, bringing real life, don't be afraid to share your story.
Mm-hmm. Do not male or female.
Yeah. Male or female. Male mm-hmm. or female, correct.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
They matter. Exactly. And those stories, they really matter more than you can imagine. And I always tell, when my female veterans say to me, well, who's going to listen to my story? You know, I don't think it's an important story enough to share, which is always shocking for me. And I tell them, you never know when your story is going to be someone else's survival guide, you know? And I think exactly. that's important to be aware of as well.
So, exactly. Your story okay. will make an impact. Your story will have an impact on someone's life because they are looking for hope more than ever mm-hmm. in the world that we live in today.
What do you think, Kawa?
Yeah, I think it's interesting to share authentic stories. And that's why I started the podcast 2 years ago about women who rose above different challenges. Mm-hmm. And how they started their business and their career. The more we share stories like that, the more we give hope to everyone. not only women. As we see, we have a lot of male audience here tonight. So if you guys want to start the podcast to support men, George, maybe, that would be a great idea to raise awareness toward domestic violence.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree. Check out Women with Stories also. Here you go. You can find it. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, pretty much anywhere you listen to podcasts. And you can also follow Kaula on Instagram as well. Yeah. So there, we'll put that up just like this.
Instagram.
There we go. So follow her on Instagram and support her podcast as well. And we love to share. And that's what this is about, to provide support and share with people and put some good out into the world. Because Lord knows there's enough bullshit out there. Okay, there's enough negativity. You know, we'll put some positivity out there and some authenticity. And, you know, you come here every week and we are just who we are. All right. Exactly. And we're just spreading, you know, good vibes and trying to share uplifting things, because we've been through a lot these last few years collectively.
Oh, tell me about it. I can't believe it. Like 3 years have gone by.
I know. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And so I have another question for you. I actually have two. I read an article today about the Johnny Depp Amber Heard trial, right? And the opinion of the writer was that because Johnny Depp won this trial, that it was going to do serious harm for women. And it was going to do harm for women because it was going to make them feel like they shouldn't speak up. What do you think about that?
I disagree with that. And this is coming from a woman who was abused for too long. No, I don't believe that at all. I don't believe that at all. Because I'll tell you why, because I'm sorry. Because so many women came forward to support Johnny Depp. Mm-hmm. I saw it. You know, I saw it on the live streams, on YouTube, and on Facebook. So many women came forward, and I don't think he has any idea what he's talking about. I mean, he may, I don't think it's going to make it more difficult for women. I don't think so. No, I disagree with that. I disagree with that.
You don't think some women will become put off by, you know, to speak up?
Can you repeat that question again?
You don't think that some women will be more hesitant to speak up after, by feeling like people will overwhelmingly take the side of the male?
I don't think they'll be hesitant to speak up. No, I don't think so. I would still speak up. I mean, if God forbid, if it was happening to me today, I would still speak out. Mm-hmm. I would still speak out about it. You know, that's an interesting, I would like to see the article.
Mm-hmm. I'll send it to you.
Send it to me because I would, okay. Okay, definitely send it to me because I would love to read that. I would love to see what he wrote. I mean, look, we can agree to disagree, but all in all, at the end of the day, regarding his statement, I don't think so. I think women will still speak out. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's going to make women more hesitant in not speaking out. I don't believe that at all.
So as far as Amber Heard, right, because she spoke up about getting death threats and being shamed and being ridiculed and all of these things, you don't think that this case will make women feel more like they're going to be harassed and ridiculed and mistreated if they speak up?
Well, each case is different. I mean, this case was horrible. But I don't, I don't believe that. No. I believe that, you know, we all, like we were talking about equality, it depends on the situation. Okay. And these forms of domestic abuse happen on all socioeconomic levels. So I don't feel that women should all of a sudden now be afraid to speak out, because if it's happening, they can go to a shelter. They can, you know, contact the national domestic violence bureau, that they could, you know, contact, because there's a lot of local agencies that provide resources. So that's an interesting question. And if this were happening to me today, I would not be afraid to speak out. And I wouldn't be afraid to seek help. I think that's just like the media causing that, you know, like the media has a tendency to blow things out of proportion. So the news, and I don't watch the news. I don't have a TV in my apartment. I don't watch the news. I've followed bits and pieces of, you know, the Johnny Depp trial, but I would like to see that article too. Plus I wanted to share something which I've read today. So hold on one second.
While you're getting that up, I would just like to say that when I read the article, it made me really sad. I understood where they were coming from. But at the same time, I would like to think that we would take it by a case-by-case basis. Mm. In this particular case, it was a male that was the victim or the survivor. Sometimes it's going to be the female. So I think that victims, whether they're male or survivors, however you want to phrase it, whether they're male or females, should be believed. It should be investigated. Neither whether it's male or female, the person should be made to feel as if they are marginalized. They shouldn't be harassed. I mean, it's not a perfect world. So it, things are going to happen, but I would like to believe that it should be based upon who it is, has, you know, been abused in the case and the evidence that shows the truth.
Exactly. So, I wanted to read a statistic from the National Coalition Against Domestic Violence. So I'm going to read it. 1 in 3 women have experienced some form of violence from a partner, compared to 1 in 4 men. Mm-hmm. Yeah. See?
Wow.
Yeah.
That's something to think about. What do you think, Kala?
Absolutely.
Well, I think in the next few days we're going to see Hollywood movies about male domestic.
That's what I think too.
Good. I hope we do.
Yeah. But I think we shouldn't have to take it about the gender, which side we need to be on. Mm-hmm. I think if something wrong is happening, we need just to speak out, whether it's male and female. And we shouldn't have this discrimination about, well, he's a male. We are going to be more concerned about male issues and we'll leave women issues for a while now. So,
right.
Yeah, I think we need to have the same kind of empathy towards every problem that we see and we encounter.
Exactly. Mm.
Well
exactly.
Said. Yeah.
Well said.
Before we wrap it up, I just want to know what's going on with Masked, the docuseries.
Well, we're still talking to investors and I have an appointment with one next week on Tuesday. So
still moving along. Great job. Well,
it's moving along. We're moving along. You know, we have, you know, we're all ready to go and, you know, we're going to make this happen, because now more than ever, real life stories need to be brought on to the movie screen. So this is again about real life stories of women, and down the road we will have probably been in the movie as well. But right now we're focused on just getting, you know, everything ready, and I have an appointment next week, so I'm super excited about that, because me as a producer my job is to find the money. So I'm working on it, right? And, you know, talking to local people and, you know, talking to investors who have money, because this is, now more than ever, we need to spread awareness.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, I'm excited for you. I can't wait to see it all come together. I want to thank you so much for being a guest on Hot Topics Live. It is always a pleasure to have you with us, Angeline.
You're welcome.
And to share your good work with everybody. So thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it, Kia. Thank you. This was amazing. I really enjoyed it.
Well, as you know how this goes, I'm going to put you in the green room if you have time for a proper goodbye. I'll see you in a minute. If you don't, then I'll understand. And we're going to close the show.
Okay.
Bye.
Wow.
Well, Joe.
Yeah, that was deep. That was deep. Okay. But it needed to happen, you know, and this Johnny Depp thing is huge and everyone's been talking about it. So I had to jump in the conversation a little bit, and I love Johnny Depp. I'm not going to lie. I always have. So Nightmare on Elm Street, baby. So Kaula, I want to thank you so much for being my co-host today. I know it's so late for you and you left an event to come participate. So I appreciate you so much.
Yes, I'm always here to support the show and to be here, of course. I love the topics that you put, and you raise awareness in different kind of areas of topics. So that is cool. Keep up the good work.
Ah, thank you. You know, we're always trying to inspire people and to encourage them to live their best life. I know it's cliche. I know it's cliche. But my point is, it's easy to remember. And also, you do deserve to be living a life that you love, no matter what income level you're on. Creating a life that you can enjoy and feel happy during multiple points of the day is the goal here. And so if we can bring guests on and we can talk about things that will help you to do that, or if it's just that weekly reminder that you are amazing, that you deserve to be living your best life, and the only person standing in your way is you and your mindset, if we can start to help people break through limiting beliefs and start creating a life that they truly love, that they have so much joy in, then I'm fulfilling my purpose here in this lifetime. And that's why I do Hot Topics Live. So thank you again for coming, Kaula. You are amazing. You are so loved. George, I want to say thank you for watching on YouTube, by the way. I need more views on YouTube. So I need people to watch these episodes on YouTube. Everyone watches on Facebook, which is cool. That's where I started. It's like my home base, but we're trying to grow. So watch episodes on YouTube. Make sure you put a thumbs up and like it. Set your notification bell so you know where we come live. And this will help me to keep the lights on and to continue to do what I'm doing, which is trying to spread some love around the globe. So thanks for watching on YouTube, George. I appreciate you. And if you want to follow me, then do it on Instagram, because I spend most of my time there, really. And this is where you can do it. You can follow me on any of these places at Kiativity, my personal Instagram, Hot Topics, the podcast, which I'm working on. It's a work in progress right now. And the Female Veterans Podcast. If you are a woman or a woman who served in the military, either one of those, or a man who cares about what happened to women who serve in the military, then check out the Female Veterans Podcast and go support that. And that means if you're a woman who served in the military anywhere in the world and you'd like to share your story, hit me up, or you know one, send her in my direction. So with that, that's a wrap. I want to say thank you for tuning in. thanks, George. I will see you guys next week.
Next week.
I will see you guys next week. Topic. And it'll be a lot of fun. So bye for now.
Bye.